Time now for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Well, welcome into IUP Plus today. This is our streaming show. We are glad you are here. If you're on News for Utah Plus, thank you for finding us. Tell your friends. Maybe you're on YouTube because I post this link a lot too. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Want to introduce my panelists today, Rusty Cannon, Adam Gardner. Hi, fellas.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
It is good to be with you. Tell us who you are, what you do.
I am back in action, apparently, today,
what as does it that says mean, right there.
I, it's just awesome.
He's
thank
back
you,
in
Peter.
Action. He's back,
back
in the
in
show.
Action. Yeah, Rusty Cannon with Utah's Credit Unions.
Wait, are we allowed to talk about your new title?
I am CEO of Utah's Credit
right?
Unions.
Right? Yay! So, yeah, so. Rusty's buying lunch. Yeah.
All right. Sure.
Adam, go.
I am Adam Gardner. I'm the president of ASG Consulting, my own lobbying firm here in Salt Lake.
Look at these fellas with your big titles. So cool.
I get to make up my own.
I know.
He has to, like, apply for it and be interviewed. I don't know if they do anything.
Right?
The whole process.
Grand Shaman. I can
put I can tag on more to your title if you like, Lindsay. I can add comma, ABC 4 News at 4,
it's
comma.
It's going to need Queen.
There we go.
Queen,
IUP
host,
queen.
And anchor. There we go.
Done deal.
Producer Peter's here, too. Hi, Producer
I
Peter.
I sure am. I put myself away on the videos there. Hi.
I love your hat
I'm there with
today.
My new hat.
I
yeah,
know.
It's from vacation, and also my hair's a
what
mess
does it say?
Right now. This is Terry Black's. It's a barbecue venue in Austin, which I quite enjoyed.
I didn't eat lunch, so that sounds really good.
Okay. Listen, it's one of those places you drive by and you can't help but pull over.
Right. We don't accept out-of-state hats in this, on this podcast.
Oh, come now. Come now. I get to have some souvenirs.
Just kidding.
You don't want to see what's under the hat.
Off the top today, I want to acknowledge something that is happening as we speak, as we record this episode, and that is our Map C is in court, okay? So our redistricting battle going on right now, where we are at in this process is that the legislature has created a map. The plaintiffs have sued over it. There's a bunch of other steps that they've sued over, too, like some tests that we're going to be required to use to test these maps for partisan fairness. And this initiative that the GOP and the party has come up with to try to overturn Proposition 4. But what's happening in court today is just the experts are arguing over whether Map C violates Prop 4. And, of course, the plaintiffs say it does, and the legislature says, no, we followed that to a T. There's not much to say about this because it's still going on right now, but, guys, I'll just say it was weedy. Like, I was sitting there in court just like,
did you fall asleep?
The mean median test, the partisan bias test, the efficiency gap. Like, I'm just like, I gotta do some research.
Those are terms we all dream
right?
talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it was 3 hours of my life I will never get back, and then I'll probably spend 5 hours there tomorrow, too. But these court hearings are going to last all day Thursday and Friday this week. So after they're done, we'll get a summary for you, and then we don't expect a ruling in this case until maybe November 10th is, I think, the drop-dead deadline for when the lieutenant governor wants these maps to be settled, and we still don't know if this court ruling really means anything. So we shall see. All right, let's talk about another big issue that's happening here in Utah, and that is our property taxes are going up. Everybody's everywhere, right? In the last couple of days, we've heard from both Salt Lake County and Davis County that they are raising their property taxes. Rusty, you are the former president of Utah's Tax Association.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about, you just saw these numbers. I mean, the big number is we're going up 20%, but it's just the line item, right, on your property tax bill. You got like 10 different services that charge you between your city, your county, your special districts, et cetera. So what do you make of these numbers?
Well, so just to remind everybody, most of your property tax bill is the school district, usually about 60%. The county makes up now somewhere around 20% of your bill. So your whole bill would now go up 20%. It's the county portion in this case.
Right.
Salt Lake County, I think Davis County is proposing about 20% or something would go up by that amount on that portion of it. But these are substantial tax increases. They will take a lot of heat for it. They don't have to pass this amount. They can actually then, a lot of times what happens, there's enough pushback that the lower amount is what's settled on. I'm not saying that's what they'll do here. But good old Salt Lake County loves to raise taxes quite often. And this is another chance for them to do that. But Davis County jumped in the fray too. So keep in mind too, some of these county commissioners will be up for re-election next year. This will definitely tee up an election issue for those if they vote yes on this.
And Utah County did it last year. So Salt Lake is not the only county, right, that's
correct,
doing it. Adam, talk to me how you just feel about these numbers.
The numbers aren't the thing that scare me. Salt Lake County hasn't raised taxes in about 7 years. When the legislature came up with this truth in taxation process, Rusty can talk. Rusty's an expert in this field, so I don't pretend to know more than him. But it's important to note that it is extremely hard for a city or a county or a school district to raise taxes. They have to go through this truth in taxation process. They have to notice it. It's a big deal. And people get very angry, very upset. It is not a fun thing to do. Nobody likes it except for maybe, well, Salt Lake County, Salt Lake City.
You guys are just criticizing her because you're both Republicans and she's a Democrat.
Look, well, this has to be voted on by the Republicans in the council. That's fair. So that's who I'm looking at.
So it's a big deal. But I just want to make it clear that this does not keep up with inflation. A municipality or a county is only allowed to collect what they collected the last year. That is really hard when inflation goes crazy and you're not allowed to, you don't have any more money. So you're actually dealing every single year with less and less money. So people don't quite understand
that just because your property values go up doesn't mean the tax goes up.
That's right, because they just adjust the rate.
Right.
The rate floats down. Yeah.
Everything will shift, and businesses will have to pay less. Homeowners will have to pay more. There's a shift that happens that I think is really important to note. When we also talk about percentages, 30%, that's a crazy amount of money in Davis County. I live in Salt Lake County, so I'm going to talk about Davis County. So on a $600,000 house, your bill would go up $100 a year. That is a lot of money. $100 a year is something that nobody wants to pay this amount of money. But I think it's important to note that in Salt Lake County, my bill would be about $8 a month. That's how much we're raising my taxes. So when we talk about percentages, I talked to my parents and I said, "Hey, what's your county tax bill every year?" And my dad responded, $4,000 a year. I'm like, awesome. That's what I want to hear, because a lot of people think your total tax bill is your county tax bill. That is not true.
Right.
For Salt Lake County, I think I pay, about $380 a year to fund Salt Lake County.
But Rusty, maybe speak to the principle of it, right?
Sure.
Because you guys are both criticizing the Democratic-led Salt Lake County of raising taxes, but it's only $8 a month. So is there just some people who are like, oh, Democrats are raising taxes again?
Well, the one cop-out they usually do is if it's a hike, they'll call it by the monthly amount. It's $96 a year if you do the simple math. I'm not sure what it is in Davis County. You said it was, what, $100 or something like that
a year.
But the point behind the truth in taxation system and why it's modeled by other states around the country, it's a good system. As property values go up, the rate floats down, like Adam mentioned. They get essentially the same revenue plus some other factors. But what has happened in recent years is there has been some shifting onto residential properties because those rose in value faster than commercial.
And
that's
COVID
a little
too.
Bit tougher to understand. Yeah. But the other thing that I used to always tell taxing entities when they call and say, hey, are you going to oppose this tax hike, is like, well, your tax hike isn't necessarily the problem. It's the other seven that came before the years previous that everybody's mad about, the school district, the water district, and all that. And everyone's tired of these death by 1,000 cuts. And so this is the latest cut. Well, it's not a cut, you know what I mean,
but the latest
cut towards these taxpayers on their bill from Salt Lake County, so they're going to take the heat for it. What I'm really curious to know is if the Republicans on the Salt Lake Council will vote against it.
Do you think they should?
I think they should. I think this is too high of a hike. I think they should come in at a lower amount. They do need, as Adam mentioned, every few years you do need to have a modest tax hike to catch inflationary rates. Otherwise, they'll just be underwater. And then what happens, a lot of these counties wait too long. Yeah, they waited so long. I remember a few years ago, it was like 25 or 20 years. Then they had this massive hike that was so controversial. A lot of times elected officials, they kick the can down the road saying, you know what, it's not going to be my problem. I won't be
here.
They
spend into their reserve funding.
Yeah, and they leave it for the next ones to pick up the mess. Mm-hmm. And so it's a tough position, but it's the best system in the country. That's why we love it.
I want to also point out that the legislature changed the law a little while ago that said, here's all the hoops you have to jump through. And when I say there's a ton of hoops, there are a lot of hoops to raise your taxes. So in municipalities, you have to actually go to everywhere where you do public notices, and you have to put the public notice on wherever you post it, a bulletin board, whatever. And then you have to put every single entity in the county that is also proposing a tax increase. Then you have to take a picture, geocache it, send it to the state, make sure everything is kosher, it has a time stamp on it. You have to notice it to all of your residents. So you have to jump through all of these hoops. The tax commission this year had authority and actually didn't have an option. If you didn't jump through every single one of these hoops perfectly, the tax commission could say you are no longer authorized to raise taxes. There were a ton of entities across the state that were forbidden from raising taxes.
Yeah, they didn't dot their I's and cross their T's properly.
And we're talking like we noticed our tax increase. Everything, we noticed that it would be on an agenda, But we also talked about for a school district, but we also talked about a retaining wall that was needed at one of the school district. Well, you talked about two things on the agenda. You are no longer allowed to raise taxes. So is that a good thing?
Is that a good thing from the legislature to be that strict about it?
Well, I'll just say there's 67 entities in the state that were proposing tax increases. So there's a lot. And you understand why the state says we want to be careful about this. But I think it's also important that the state can raise taxes whenever they want. And during the legislature, right, Rusty?
Yeah,
the legislative session, they don't have these hoops they need to jump through. They can just raise your taxes, raise your fees. And they do it all the time. But they also cut our income tax, which is welcome. And I like paying less money. So it's a good process. But in Salt Lake County, I don't know how many, I think there were 15 that were proposing tax increases. There are only two entities that did everything correctly.
Yeah.
So you can either say good job or maybe that process is really crappy. Mm. I don't know what the answer is.
Rusty, talk about the truth in taxation process that you know so well, because maybe when people hear this 20%, they're freaking out. They think government's just, you know, come in and raise their taxes without noticing or telling anybody. Talk to the people about what they're going to be able to do to comment on this.
Yeah, the most important thing they need to do is now talk to the county commissioners or other elected officials in the county and speak out against it if that's what you want to do. You can also speak for it, but speak out if it's something of a concern, because you have to prepare for that leading up to the actual truth in taxation hearing. The biggest criticism we always hear about truth in taxation hearings is, oh, they came in already knowing what they're going to do. Well, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen unless you let them know before.
Because they've been talking about these budgets
since
for
the spring.
Months.
Yeah, there were budget hearings in the spring. This was kind of building up, and nobody pays attention to the budget hearings. They're totally boring.
But so boring.
That might be something we have to change. But that's what they need to do is immediately start contacting your elected officials if it is somewhere where you're concerned, so that they have that feedback by the time the hearing comes around. Once in a while, those hearings, they actually reverse and vote against their own proposal, but it's pretty rare. But often they'll tamper it, meaning instead of a 20%, they'll say, all right, we'll come in at 12.
Right, and I wonder if the county mayor in Salt Lake County, for example, is shooting for the stars so that she can get a little bit less
than
that.
Well, Davis County made that clear. They posted, just because we're proposing 30% doesn't mean that's where we're going to end up. We just want you to all to be clear, so stop calling us.
And I should have pulled this clip, but I did have Amy Winder Newton and Suzanne Harrison, a Republican and a Democrat, from the Salt Lake County Council on Inside Utah Politics, which airs on Sunday. And Amy Winder Newton was very clear that she was not going to let the 20% tax, property tax rate stay.
What's the balance on the council now? Is it 4-2? I'm trying to remember the numbers.
I thought it was 6-3.
Is it 6-3?
Is it? Yeah. I can't remember.
We're making that up.
I'm going to look this up real quick.
Fact check us, Peter.
6-3. Because
I think there was a supermajority for the Republicans, right?
I used to be a county elected official. I should know.
So it's 6-3 Republican or 6-3 Democrat?
No, I think it's Republican. Yes, Republican for sure. I just can't remember if they had what they've been calling a supermajority. But that's the body that will decide really what happens.
They'll take a scalpel to the budget, see if we need 13 new district attorneys, right? New employees in the district attorney's office. Yeah.
But I guarantee you there is bloat in that budget somewhere. Yeah. I mean, Salt Lake County is a massive budget.
It's $2 billion.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. All right. Well, we shall see how it all shakes out. Let's move on to another local issue before we get to something that's happening nationally. We had a state lawmaker announce his intent to resign this week. Senator Daniel Thatcher serves in West Valley City. That's District 11 in the Senate. He left the Republican Party earlier this year, switched to the Forward Party. So it's the Forward Party who presumably now gets to pick his replacement. They have set up like an open process for anyone to become a member. And I found this interesting. You guys can tell me what you think. The person who runs for this has to also pledge to run in 2026 in the Forward Party. So they have to stay in that party, but anyone can apply. I want to talk kind of about two aspects of this. And Adam, let's have you go first. What does it mean to have a member of the third party in the legislature? And then just also, what do you make of anyone being able to kind of join the party? Are they trying to just build their party membership here?
It doesn't mean anything to be a member of a third party in the legislature. That probably is kind of crude. I think you can be whatever you want, and I'm glad you're in the legislature. But if you don't caucus with either side, a Republican or a Democrat, you
Will be ineffective.
You're very ineffective. You can't get anything done.
It's the same way in D.C., by the way. The so-called independents caucus with the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And so otherwise, they're literally in no man's land.
And they will admit, we have to do that or we're not going to have any power.
You don't get any committee assignments. You basically just sit in your office.
Yeah.
But and you are a minority leader, so that's kind of a cool title if that's what you're after.
You're the minority leader, minority whip. You're the minority assistant whip. You're the...
So it really doesn't, it doesn't have a bearing. It's a good way to show, like, I'm very independent and my voters know that. And I can kind of, you have a lot more freedom to vote however you want. There's not a minority or a majority leader hammering you on which way to go. So there's a lot more freedom, but you just don't have any of the responsibility.
Rusty, I've covered this legislature for a lot of years. I've seen them be punitive to the minority party, and not punitive in like they're being mean. It's just politics, right? Mm-hmm. They're just like, they don't get invited to the conversation. They don't know what's going on until a plan is released. And then they're like, we got to scramble to kind of like stop this if we can. And we only have 6 members, so we can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this person going to get sort of, I mean, this is a harsh word and I don't mean it this way, but blacklisted, for lack of a better word?
You know, I don't know. I think this brings up a good conversation about an effective legislator. That you can be a very effective legislator, either as a Democrat or a Republican. In fact, in the Senate, you had Karen Main that was there for a long time as a Democrat. She passed as many bills as anybody else because she was very good at working with both parties and not being a grenade thrower. Then you have others that kind of go in the opposite direction and become ineffective. And so the question is whether this person is with the forward party or not. You could be effective. But that's really up to them and how they behave going into the body, because you do have to get along with everybody, and that's...
Not the way it's Luz Escamilla, Stephanie Pitcher.
Yeah.
Republicans like both of those two. Yeah. They're very effectual in the Senate. Andrew Stoddard in the House.
Give an example of someone who doesn't do it right.
Nope. Oh, okay. I mean,
Nate's our favorite wild card question.
In the Senate, you have Nate Bluen, and he's doing, I think, exactly what his voters want him to do, which is to throw bombs and doesn't pass any bills, but I don't know if he particularly cares because he gets to fight against the Republicans. That's what his district wants.
Sure.
When Jim DeBacus was elected, that's what his district wanted.
That's the same district, wasn't it? Or no?
No, that's Gene Davis's. Oh, okay. Is Nate Bluen. So, but yeah, it's the same process. Whatever your voters want, that's what you're going to get. We have a lot of Republicans who do the same thing.
Sure.
No, I'm just going to be a bomb thrower and hate everything, and they don't get anything passed.
But likely, Lindsay, I think when this seat comes up for re-election next year, right? Wouldn't it be next year?
Yeah, 26.
Yeah, it'll be filled by a Republican or a Democrat, in my opinion. I don't see any way a forward party person runs through that election and wins. So I'm sorry, this person likely serves next year, and
it's
that's
a weird district, too. It's not just West Valley. It goes West Valley all the way up into Tooele.
Yeah, it's around the mountain.
And then it comes around the mountain on the Salt Lake County side all the way down into Harriman on the west side. So it's a really weird district. You have to have a big coalition. It's very Republican, very Democrat, very moderate in Tooele. And so you have to be able to get kind of speak to a wide range of politicos. Now, the reason I think the forward party can't really fill the seat on their own without opening it up, there are, I think, 1,100 or 1,200 total members of the party in the state.
Yeah, I think
and
I
in
heard
this
3,
district, there's 100.
Yeah.
So you don't have enough to have delegates or anything. So this is kind
of all this talk about special elections and how small the pool is, really, you're going to have
just
what?
Made it
and then,
I
like, how do you verify all that stuff online, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I want to move on to another topic, but I want this final question. Do we need to change this process about how we elect midterm vacancies? Why or why not?
Rusty?
I mean, that's a tough question. I think it's
because
it's
half
up to
of
the
our
parties,
legislature,
right?
It's up to the parties. Usually the delegates pick somebody. About half of our, each chambers, there's like 10 in the Senate, right, who are elected by special election and midterm election. Voters just don't really get a say in that case.
Yeah,
the delegates
but it's still a good process because in the caucus convention system, let's say your pool is 60 delegates. The good part is that somebody can run that doesn't have money. You can go and kitchen table campaign to those 60 delegates face to face, literally knee to knee, and win. And that's what's, I think, great about the process. You don't need $40,000 to go win a special election. That's what's so great about the system, you know, aside from everything else.
Yeah.
So,
Adam, do you want it changed?
No, go ahead, Peter.
Just a quick interjection with 2 fact checks. The Salt Lake County Council is actually a 5-4 breakdown these days.
Oh, okay.
And then the Utah Forward Party actually has closer to 2,400 members. I think we were saying
1,000. Huge. It doubled. Yeah. It's doubled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, year over year growth, that's very exciting.
statistics.
All right, I'll move on. Adam, I'll let you off the hook of that question. Okay, this is not my chance to grill you, but I should.
The answer is yes, reform it.
Reform it. Okay, there we go. Let's talk about the White House really fast, because President Trump has taken a literal bulldozer to the side of the White House, the East Wing. It is no more. You can see a photo if you're watching us in a visual platform. You can see a photo of a bulldozer or a backhoe or whatever that machine is that has taken out the entire East Wing now. Guys, what do you make of this demolition? The president says he wants to build a ballroom there, and he's going to pay for it himself via his donors.
Okay, so I have a huge problem with it. The last time there was a total renovation done. It was in the late 40s. The White House was falling apart. Congress had to meet and appropriate money and go through a process to completely overhaul the White House. So the fact that it's under construction, I don't care. We do construction all the time. Historically, the Rose Garden was added by the Kennedys. I'm sad to see that go and turned into a patio. I think that's lame. And this process, do I care if there's a huge ballroom that I'll never get to use or be invited to? No, I don't care if there's a 90,000 square foot ballroom. I think it's ugly, and I think President Trump's taste is bad. But my bigger problem is when he says we're going to do this without government funds, I'm going to do the fundraising for it. I have a problem with that. There's a whole reason you have a process, even though it's encumbering and hard and annoying. There's a reason you have that process. If I am taking private dollars from Google or Apple or any name a corporation, and I am taking that money and building my own thing with it without any government watchdogs,
they're entitled to that.
That is the definition of corruption. Whether he's doing anything corrupt or not, it's very unethical, this process, and I hate to see this happen on kind of the people's house.
You know, I disagree. So if you go, like, for instance, the inauguration every time a president, they'll have an inaugural committee. They'll raise tens of millions of dollars from the same types of parties, companies, and all of that. Is it pay to play? Of course it is. That kind of thing. They're always raising money for those types of things. This is nothing new. I think it is refreshing that it is done with private dollars, not taxpayer dollars. I think it's just something everybody that doesn't like Trump, they'll just say, well, here's another thing for us to be, you know, mad about. I think in 5 to 10 years, most people won't remember who built the ballroom, and they'll enjoy using it.
Do we have other presidents that come and then redo portions of the White House?
Maybe, but you know, if it's basketball hoops or a ballroom, whatever.
Yeah,
but
cover up the White House swimming pool. You add a putting green. Those are the types of things. You add a greenhouse. Those
when Adam gets there, he's adding a putting green,
right? I mean,
for sure.
Bring it back, baby.
I'm adding a spa. Let's do it, Lindsay for president. All right. Thank you guys both for your insights today. It's been such a lively discussion. We appreciate it. I would invite you to watch Inside Utah Politics 2 that airs on ABC 4 Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. We'll talk more about property tax hikes. We also go through municipal elections, which are coming up on November 4th. So get your ballot in if you're in Utah County. You don't need your last four of your ID. We covered that story.
Or a postage stamp.
We covered that this week. Thank you all for being here, and we will see you next time.